National Security Advisor steps down.
I think misleading the vice president really was the key here.
Tens of thousands wait out California dam repairs.
Better be safe than sorry.
How to treat a bad back.
The big picture here is to try to avoid medication whenever possible.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, Michael Flynn lasted less than a month on the job. He's resigned as President Trump's national security advisor in the uproar over his phone call to a Russian diplomat before the new administration took power. We're live this morning at the White House with CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
It's the first high-profile departure from the Trump administration 3.5 weeks in. General Michael Flynn writes he inadvertently briefed Vice President Pence on his conversations with the Russian ambassador with incomplete information. Flynn initially denied chatting about U.S. sanctions. Trump aide Kellyanne Conway was on NBC's Today Show.
It was misleading the vice president that made the situation unsustainable.
But Conway doesn't deny reports the White House was informed by the Justice Department weeks ago that Flynn had discussed sanctions with the Russian ambassador. And that leads Democrats to ask, what did the president know and when did he know it? They're demanding briefings on Capitol Hill. Steve?
Well, new security questions are swirling over the weekend photos at President Trump's Florida club taken shortly after North Korea test-fired a ballistic missile. The president's there, key advisors, including Michael Flynn, and Japan's prime minister. Was sensitive information being discussed in public? CBS News Homeland Security correspondent Jeff Pagaz.
Mar-a-Lago club member Richard DiAgazio posted some of his photos on Facebook, writing, "Holy moly," and "Wow, center of the action." In response to the leaders appearing to make national security decisions in plain view. In a statement, the White House said that's not what happened, insisting that the president was briefed on the North Korea situation in a classified setting both before and after the dinner. But Democrats on Capitol Hill, including Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, called what they saw in the photographs a security risk.
Another post from Mar-a-Lago creating a stir identifies the military officer who carried the nuclear codes for President Trump. Other photos from the weekend show him carrying a large briefcase. Last night, the Senate approved Wall Street and Hollywood finance kingpin Steve Mnuchin to be Treasury Secretary.
I am committed to using the full powers of this office to create more jobs, to combat terrorist activities and financing, and to make America great again.
David Shulkin won unanimous Senate approval to be Secretary of Veterans Affairs. A vote will be held today on Linda McMahon to head up the Small Business Administration. There's another judicial hurdle for the Trump administration's now-on-hold travel ban. A federal judge has given Virginia the go-ahead to stop the implementation of the ban in that state. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohn says the court found an unconstitutional religious bias is at the center of it.
The ruling may or may not be appealed to the Fourth Circuit, the federal appeals court, depending on whether the administration rescinds the order and tries another one. But whether it does or it doesn't, we now have a more formal record and a published decision about what some judges view as potential evidence of discriminatory intent in the creation of that ban, and that is significant.
Well, now to Northern California. Using huge rocks, crews are racing to repair spillways at the country's tallest dam, while nearly 200,000 people wait for word on when they can go home. CBS's John Blackstone has the latest.
As billions of gallons of water rush out of Lake Oroville, officials here in California are rushing to fix the dam's two spillways, both the main one and the emergency backup.
So far, it's holding, and that's why the evacuation is still in place, because there's uncertainty.
Governor Brown says he's unaware of a newly surfaced report from 2005, a motion filed with the Federal Emergency Regulatory Commission warning that if the emergency spillway was used, it would cause significant erosion. On Monday, the agency ordered the Department of Water Resources to convene an independent panel to determine the cause of the spillway failures.
One of Jerry Sandusky's adopted sons has been charged with sexual assault in a Pennsylvania case involving a teenage girl. 41-year-old Jeffrey Sandusky was a supporter of his father in the Penn State abuse case. Another adopted son accused Jerry Sandusky of molesting him when he was younger. A federal court will consider the fate of a Wisconsin inmate, a man featured on the Netflix series Making a Murderer. Live to CBS's Vicki Barker.
What else did he do to her? We already know. He be honest.
That's Wisconsin police detectives interrogating then 16-year-old Brendan Dassey, the learning disabled nephew of accused killer Stephen Avery. Dassey and Avery were sentenced to life for the 2005 rape and murder of photographer Teresa Halbach, the case covered in Making a Murderer. A federal judge overturned Dassey's conviction last summer, calling his confession coerced. But a federal appeals court blocked his release to give the state one last chance to make its case. That's what's happening today. Steve?
University of Connecticut women's basketball team won its 100th straight game last night. CBS's Michelle Miller took it all in.
Let's go Huskies!
As time ticked off the clock,
the UConn Huskies have beaten South Carolina.
The UConn women sailed into sports history. The 11-point victory against South Carolina capped a win streak over 2 years in the making.
UConn makes it 100.
Joanne Swanson was one over 10,000 Husky fans to see the 100th straight win.
The legacy lives on. They want to be the team that carries it on.
The Huskies' 100-game winning streak eclipses any team in both women's and men's professional sports.
And the UConn women's team last lost in December of 2014. 80% of adults in this country suffer with back pain at one time or another. CBS's Dr. John LaPook says new guidelines from the American College of Physicians urge people to find alternatives to powerful painkillers or surgery.
What they're saying is, look, don't be so quick to give medication. Try non-pharmacologic things first. You know, things like massage, heat wraps, acupuncture, spinal manipulation. And then if that doesn't work, and if the pain lasts more than 3 months, you can go on to exercise, tai chi, yoga, acupuncture, mindfulness techniques to relieve stress.
Well, people who buy Playboy magazine just for the articles should know this. In the latest issue, pictures of naked women have returned after a one-year absence. The magazine says it's taking its identity back. Of course, Valentine's Day is a day for flowers, chocolates, or dinner out. CBS's Jim Taylor takes us back to the day's roots.
Geoffrey Chaucer, often credited with writing the first Valentine's poem, sometime around 1381.
New welcome summer with the sun soft.
And yes, it sounds strange. It's medieval English.
Saint Valentine.
What's important is that many scholars believe Chaucer was the first to associate the Christian feast day of St. Valentine's with the idea of romance. That's because Chaucer thought that birds mated in mid-February. St. Valentine's Day was February 14th. Chaucer linking the two together, that was the start of something big. Taylor, CBS News.
In Indonesia, authorities used Valentine's Day to raid convenience stores and seize condoms. Authorities in the country say they're misused by young people to have casual sex. And that's the CBS World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.